Coming up on TMS, I threw the dog in the lake.
Daredevil Season 2 is go.
We just spent $77 million.
NSA is making Skynet.
Florence Henderson begged for stuff.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I want something round and crisp and buttery tasting. When I want a cracker, I want a Ritz.
Golden buttery Ritz crackers. They're delicious anytime.
When you want a cracker, you want a Ritz.
Thanks, son.
I'm busy. What the f*** do you want?
This is The Morning Stream, or as we like to call it, Dinglefarkas McGillicuddy and friends. This is The Morning Stream.
Don't play
stream.
That again. Damn it.
Or,
oh, hello, everybody. Hi, this is Scott, and this is The Morning Stream. Good morning. Hello. In the morning this morning, good morning. Hi, Brian. How are you?
In the morning. Good. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. It's Monday, May 11th, 2015. It's The Morning Stream, TMS for short, and we are back. Nice to... Oh, look what the chat room does when that theme song is on. Weird.
They play along. They type along with it, yeah.
Yeah. I sense the lag gods hate us today, but we're going to push through. I don't know what it is, but you're about a second behind me for some reason.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah, that's... I'm looking to see if there's anything else. There's nothing else on my end. Like, the only things it shows that... that is sending and receiving is Skype. So I wonder if somebody else in our house, which would right now just be Tina,
right,
is something else. Is only I've actually shut Tristan's computer down earlier today because
weird,
it was beeping or something.
Maybe it's just your ISP. Maybe something's up. Who knows? I'm getting a little bit of crusty, but we'll make it work. We've had worse, everybody. We've had worse. We've had hotel Wi-Fi. We've had like. I don't know. What else have we had? We've had other things.
We'll pretend that I'm in Vegas. We'll pretend that I'm calling from a hotel, crappy Wi-Fi internet connection there.
Crazy Horse Saloon 2 is where Brian is tonight.
That's where I'm at.
Is that still a thing?
Savannah, to the main stage.
That's still a thing you can go to, right? That exists in Vegas,
strip
right?
Strip clubs, yes, they still exist in Vegas.
All right. That's still
and
allowed.
Other places, too.
Okay. Do they still have the world's only, or not the world's only, the country's only legal brothel, that Bunny Ranch thing? Is that still out there?
I assume so. I haven't heard anything about them closing. There was actually something about that in the news recently, and what was it?
Oh. Did someone finally find a body or something terrible there? Because you know there has to be something terrible happen there.
No, there was some... Oh, what was it? There was something. You know what? I'll look in the news and see if I can find out. Because it was something that I thought was TMS worthy, but I can't remember what it was.
This one? Bunny Ranch sex workers endorse Hillary Clinton for president? Is that the one?
No. Here it is. Here it is right here. March 31st, 2015. Bunny Ranch brothel seeking quality control, paid quality control testers.
Wow.
Wait, so what are they? They want to pay people to go there and and mess around so that you can give them, you know, like secret shoppers kind of stuff.
Oh, so it's not like they want like the Food and Drug Administration to send a dude out there to do like a health check or something like that. They mean they want to check the quality of their services.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. That's bonkers. Right. That's crazy.
I don't believe it for one second.
So here's the deal. Also, politically speaking, they are rallies, bikinis and bunnies for Hillary, they're calling it, or hookers for Hillary. They wanted to endorse Hillary. Previous to this election, they were endorsing Ron Paul in 2012 and 2008. So I don't know what it is about Hillary they like.
Libertarian ticket.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, anyway, there's a little side note.
Yeah, sure.
Side note's got nothing to do with anything except this story, which I will tell you now. Two things happened to me yesterday, and the first one, I want to see if this is okay with everybody else. But my dog is part Doberman. It's a small little mini Doberman thing, okay?
Okay, and, like a min pin?
Yeah, and her name is Jim Raynor. And right. We took her to the lake last night, and I decided to take my min pin. I do hate the name, min pin. That makes me want to kill somebody. I took her to the lake and I thought, you know what? It's warm out. The ducks are everywhere. We're throwing crackers in the lake. The ducks are eating the crackers because we didn't have any bread. And we're chilling and having a good time and everything. And I thought, I wonder if this dog is true to her original half-breed of the min pin part. Because she's also part Chihuahua, I should mention. So I thought, well, what if I hucked her in the lake? What would happen then? She'd probably just, you know, instinctually swim back to shore and everything would be fine. The kids were sure it would terrify her and ruin her for life, that she would have this experience and then be afraid to ever go near the lake again and not like me anymore. And Kim was kind of indifferent. So I did my fatherly decision making and I said, I'm going to throw her in the lake and see what happens. I mean, what's it going to hurt? So I threw the dog in the lake and I was right. She loved it. Like, she swam around, she chased duck a little bit, and then she came back the other way, came up on the thing, shook off, was super excited, was licking my face. Like, she's into it, man. So I just
did she go back in after that, like, voluntarily? Like, all right, I like that. I'm going to run back in there.
Nope. She immediately went around looking for old bread on the ground that people had discarded from the duck feeding.
The ducks didn't want.
Yeah,
if even the ducks don't want it, you know, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. That's all she cares about, honestly, is eating things. Anyway, I just wanted to put it out there that sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to test these things. You don't know. You don't know if it's going to hate it. It's not like I would have never put our old Shih Tzu in there. She would have hated it. You know, she would have stalked me at night and murdered me and peed on my head. But this dog, she's into it, man. Jim Rayner, way to go. Not afraid. All right. So while I'm out there, though, this is the important bit. Okay. I've told you about how there's these tunnels, right, that go from kind of where live. They cut under the main road. There's three of them because there's three roads there. And then you come up on the lake.
Spray paint and graffiti that kids were doing one day.
Yes. This is the one. So all winter long. So here's where my complaint begins. Every year there's a problem with graffiti in there. The kids, it's not like gangsters or any kind of thuggy, any kind of tough kids. These are all white suburban, too much time on their hands, little buttholes. Okay.
Okay.
And this is how it works. In the wintertime, it's too cold to go out and mark everything with stupid sayings and BS. We can't do that. It's too cold. So the entire winter, there's no graffiti in there. So already they're not very thuggy, are they? They can't go out in inclement weather and actually continue their great poetic voice.
Thugs aren't stopped by the cold. They're not stopped by rain.
No, they're not. That's the thug life.
24/7 thugs.
Exactly.
The real thugs.
Exactly. The real thugs of Orange County. So I figured they were, you know, I figured that, well, maybe this is a sign, like, cause this is our first real winter where it's the full winter. And I thought, well, maybe this is over. Nobody cares. No, the weather's warmed up a little bit. Sure enough, the walls are covered. Now, here's the thing. I don't mind if somebody goes down there with a piece of chalk and thinks they have some big poetic thing to say at age 16 and go,
sure,
I saw him standing over the river and I decided his eyes were like the sun. Okay, do whatever you want. Whatever hokey, majokey bullcrap you want to write, go for it.
I don't want the world. I just want your half.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And do it in chalk so that we can go down there or somebody can go down there and rub that off, rinse it off, whatever, and get rid of it. Fine. Let your voice be heard, but make it temporary. People who go down there with cans of freaking enamel paint and write the most inane, stupid things I've ever seen. For example, yesterday I took a photo of it and put it on Instagram. There is a, in bright pink, permanent, have to paint over it paint, the words thug life in pink. It's in pink. Right? Now, look. And by the way, for whatever reason, tons of this paint. None of it attractive. Okay? All of it super ugly. At least, like, if you go to some, you know, urban area, urban jungle, somewhere in L.A. or something, you're going to get, like, amazing graffiti art. You're going to see that stuff and go, wow, these...
You're going to see decent stuff, right? Actual art.
You can
right.
see why some areas of the country have actually enacted laws that say we need to protect some of this. It's actually art. It's good stuff. We shouldn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. You kind of can see it a little bit. But these kids, in all of their, you know, home by 11, freaking pasty milk toast white boy actions, are covering the wall with
this. I ran out of space on my iPod Nano. Angst.
Yeah. Somebody tried to write the word bay, B-A-E. You know, all the kids are saying bay now. Someone wrote the word bay, but tried to make it like a big fancy, graffiti looking thing like you'd see in L.A., except it was terrible. It looked terrible. It leaked everywhere. There was dripping all over the place. It looked awful. And so they think they're down there at like midnight, impressing the hell out of each other, going, yeah, man, freaking look at this, how daring I am. Here's what makes them even less daring. You bunch of pasty freaking crackers, okay? There's tunnel number one. It is the furthest from getting in trouble. If you are doing tunnel number one, you can escape. Tunnel number two, you notice there's a little less graffiti in there. Interesting. Well, probably because it's a little harder to escape if somebody caught you or if the cops came or something. So it's a little less that way. Third tunnel totally has access to getting busted right away. Not a damn lick of the stuff. So if you are truly the rebellious voice of a generation, you are a puss. Like, I can't
go
for
tunnel number three if you really want to show you're tough. If you really have the chops.
Yeah, I'm daring you right now. Yeah, do it right now. And hey, how about this? Do it while, let me go down there while you're doing it. Let's see how willing you are to freaking do it then. Because I'm guessing none of you are going to go, step off, son, and do it anyway. Most of you are going to go, ah, they're going to run the other way, you wieners. Bunch of wieners. It just costs money. It's just lame. These guys will go down and paint that stuff over about 7 times over the summer.
It's not creative. It's not, insightful.
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's a waste of time. And I know who's doing it. That's the worst part. It would almost be cool if somebody said, a contingent of the L.A. Crips came into town and did your tunnels there. At least I could deal with, the cultural impact of that. No. These are little wieners who are sick of playing their Wii U on a Friday night and decide to go sneak out with a neighbor kid. It sucks. It sucks.
As soon as we're done listening to this Hozier album, let's go out and spray paint the tunnel.
Yes, that's it. Did you hear the new OK Go album? It was really good. Can you borrow your mom's Civic? We need to go paint the... It's so white kid. I hate it.
We can fit 4 people in the back of the station wagon.
Now, look, people listening are going to go, wait, what are you saying? It's okay for, people who aren't white to... No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're pretending to be a thing.
It's better for people to use chalk.
Yeah, and they're pretending to be a thing they're not. They're not this tough kid thing. They're wieners. They're wieners. Every one of them, grade A wiener. I even know a couple of them because the kids pointed them out. Carter's like, that kid over there, he's always down in that tunnel. I said, really? I go, how do you know? She goes, well, I've never been there, Dad. And I said, well, how do you know? They talk about it at school. Okay. So I decided next time I see that kid, because I kind of know him, he's a neighbor kid, I'm going to kind of drop a little hint. Like,
favorite kind of spray paint, Billy?
I was really get obvious about it. But I'm going to say, if I'm ever in that tunnel and somebody's painting in there, I might have to give somebody the worst atomic wedgie of their life. Or, some sort of veiled threat. And just see what this kid does. Right. Anyway, good times. Good times in the tunnels.
We passed, speaking of kind of decorating your surroundings, we saw a guy driving down the road the other day. Actually, yesterday, driving home from, get this, Tristan wanted to go antiquing on Mother's Day.
Oh, my.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, but, hipster business right there.
Hipster business from the 18-year-old. Actually, he's looking for a really old-looking key, like one of those keys that's a few inches long and has looks old-timey as opposed to the new quick lock.
Kind you'd find in a fantasy game to open some secret door.
Right. He's like the Hearthstone keys are good examples of this, that kind of style.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming back from there, we passed this guy who had a truck and he was right in front of us on the road, and by the way the light was hitting the side of the car, I could see that there was something written on the side of his car. And Tina's like, yeah, I can't read it from the side either. Go see if you can pass him over on the other side. I'm like, I'm not going to pass him on the right just so we can read this thing and endanger ourselves. Well, sure enough, as I'm going around him to the left, because he did kind of go slowly, we say, oh, good, he's got a written left side. Let's see what it says. It says Frankenstein.
What?
But it doesn't quite say Frankenstein, and he's got it written on the side of his big black truck. His beat up truck that's missing bumpers and his black matte primer colored. But as we're looking and reading the Frankenstein, we notice something a little odd is that he's reversed the I and the E in Frankenstein. So it's more like Frankenstein.
Nice.
S-T-I-E-N.
I've been taking heat for. See, it would be one thing if somebody said Frank. I-N and then Stein, like S-T-I-N-E or something where they're obviously trying to misspell it.
Where they're doing it on purpose, yes.
Right, right.
This definitely looked like a typo.
Yeah. It's like Pink Thug
tapo,
Life.
Because it's masking tape.
Tapo. Yeah, no, it's like Pink Thug Life. Like, don't pretend to be a thing. Don't try to be cool. You're not cool, damn it. Cool is not a thing you can be. It's a thing you are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I am not cool. Look at me. I'm not cool, everybody. I admit it. I will not try to pretend like I'm cool. I'm not cool. If I try to pretend like I'm cool, people are going to go, that guy's not cool. And that's what's happening here.
Cool.
Yeah. And just because you're 16 and you have a can of paint, you're not cool. If you have a roll of tape in a big dumb truck, you're not cool. You're just a guy. You're just a dude with tape. All right? And a bad sense of spelling. Brian, I've had out. Yes, I've said all I've wanted to say on this subject.
Do you feel better now? Do you feel...
Not really.
Like you're cleansed?
Not really. It's not so much cleansed as it is agitated.
You've gotten something off your chest. How's that?
All right. That's fine. Unlike my usual halter.
Call
top.
It that.
Yeah. All right. Daryl's on his way.
I'm gonna reboot during the first song. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, you're hitting some weird... your voice is doing the cracky crack as well. But it doesn't sound like lag because your quality of voice is fine. It's your... Mm-hmm. It's like something's hitching. It's hard to explain. I don't know. Who knows? 10 years of doing this, you'd think I'd have it figured out by now. All right, here's this. Look, everybody, it's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
North Korea is a pretty weird place. Every week, Chris and Marcus explore a freaky North Korean news event on the Weekly Bleep podcast. Just two dudes making fun of the Juche. Is it Juche? J-U-C-H-E?
I don't know, but here you go.
I don't know what that is.
Juche. Is it the Juche? Was worth the entire read. Yeah.
It's theweeklybleep.com.
Juche. What? Daryl, are you there?
What?
Here.
What?
Let's see if anyone can tell which one's you. Keep going.
What?
About half of that was me, half of that was you. That's amazing.
Uncanny. Yeah. Uncanny, I say.
It's crazy. You need to get paid for that, yo.
I don't give a shit.
Whoop, wrong one. Right? The T is not the Y. What? There it is. All right, Daryl, it's good to have you here. It's Stump a Trek Nerd Times, where we do trivia questions about Star Trek, and by gum, you're here to do one. Did you hear, you were here for the suggestion the other day, right, about, what was it? That we should do some of that. Did Mike get a hold of you, or did none of that happen?
Yeah, he said, "You think this is good?" And I said, "It's good."
Oh, okay, good.
And that's about all there was.
So he got your approval, and then that probably means he's working away on it. All right, well, he sent a mashup. We're going to play that first. I have no idea what's in this. Probably something embarrassing. Here you go. Here it is. The corn dog I just ate was so terrible. Whoa, easy there, Chief.
I'm so glad that Iceworm is not going to be able to use any of this.
No, this all seems like a waste, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Damn it.
It looks good, and it feels nice when your lips are chapped, but it does get very sticky.
Well, let's see what you got going here.
Dad, what's Hopper? And I said, just like right in the middle of Star Trek or Star Wars. I go, what? He goes, what's Hopper? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, well, that mean black man keeps saying, Hopper. So he thought that was a word.
Wow, that was a weird mashup. It was like a little bit of mashup with no connective tissue and then a weird story. So there you go.
Yeah, and back in time, like that was one of our early stories on this show,
I think,
right?
So, yeah. I may have retold it, but I don't think very often.
When you take wiener and balls out, there's not much left.
Right. Yeah. Except for what you just said, which will...
Poop jokes and Brian. Yeah.
Make it into the next one. All right, Daryl. Here's your question. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
In the Next Generation episode, The Vengeance Factor, Riker, Worf, Data, and Skeletor are searching for a reactor in the outpost that has been destroyed. Skeletor finds some blood and takes samples back to the Enterprise. What race does she say this blood came from? Is it A, the Vendorians, B, the Phylogians, C, the Acrimarians, there's no R, D, well, there's an R later, D, the Corellians. I think he's probably shocked I got all those right. Vendorians, Phylogians, Acrimarians, or the Calarians? Corellians?
Corellians.
Yeah.
Corellians.
Yeah. Mm. It's the land of donuts, right? The Krellers.
And Krellerarians.
So those are your options. You need to think about those long and hard. But before we do anything else, I said long and hard. Damn it. I shouldn't have said that. All right, we're going to do this right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
In our hands, we have the final of the taste testing Oreos that we got from Mary. And this batch is the cotton candy flavored. And I have to admit to cheating, I ate one of these over the weekend.
Oh, Scott, how could you?
I will admit to quite liking it, though. I was worried.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, you were all worried about this, the oversweet, right? You were talking about that?
Yeah.
There is definitely a lot of sweet happening, but I'm not sure I'd call it oversweet. I think it's okay. But anyway, let's give it all a try. Daryl, you got yours there?
Yep. I got it ready.
Ooh, this one. bashed around, has been beaten. They get crumbly chips in this one.
Oh, that's not good. Okay. See, it's not overwhelming.
Hmm.
I mean, it's obviously, it's not the kind of thing you want to eat 15 of these or anything.
No.
But it's all right. Right?
Yeah, it's totally, it's totally not as sweet as actual, candy.
I feel like they had to do that.
This is, like taper it down.
Yeah, because it just, even the idea at the boardroom meeting they had about it, probably somebody just went, oh, my teeth hurt just talking about your idea. And they were like, no, don't worry. We'll, because you can't, I mean, this stuff, I've had Oreos before where we've had them on the show where they were so overwhelmingly sugary that it was just like too much and you could only eat like one or two. So if they want people to keep buying these, are these limited though? They are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, limited edition. It makes
limited editions. Put these up on eBay in 15 years.
Yeah. Goes up.
Make a fortune.
Makes a point of saying artificially flavored. Big shocker there. Can't quite believe it. Can't quite believe it. All right, Daryl, back to you. Today in Trek history, what do you got for us?
Oh, yeah. It's that.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have? Back in 2001, UPN announced that there would be a new Star Trek series called Enterprise, starring Boss Scott Bakula.
Ah, Boss Scott Bakula. I remember him.
It's like Boss Hogg, but Boss Scott Bakula.
He goes, oh boy, them Duke boys. Always had some scheme to make a little money. Yeah, that was, I remember hearing that. I remember being kind of excited about it at the time. And then I remember being kind of disappointed when it came out. But it's all right. It is
the minute the theme started, we knew there was something wrong.
Where did I just see Bakula in where he played the gay neighbor? What was that?
That was American Beauty.
That was it. Yep, I'd finally seen American Beauty, and I didn't know Scott Bakula was in it, and he plays a gay neighbor. And it's not even a big part. It's a very small part.
It's a gaber.
That's a gaber, right. They had a gaber.
A gaber.
He was fine in it, right? It's no unnecessary roughness, but it is what it is. Right. I never saw that show on TNT. What was that called? Men of a Certain Age? Was that what it was called?
Oh, yeah right. The one with Ray Romano? Yeah. No, it's a different thing.
No, that was it.
Hey. It was Ray Romano? Okay,
Ray Romano. It had him, it had Bakula, and it had that black dude, Andre Brower. He was in it.
And, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yes.
Heard good things about it.
It was
never
great
saw it.
On Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that show at all. I still should watch that.
Oh, you need to. That's a binge watch for you right there, for sure.
Aren't they all? They're half hour, right?
It's some of the most well-written ensemble comedy stuff ever. And it's one of those things where, you know, you see who fronts a show. Like New Girl is a good example of this. It's like, oh, you know, Zooey Deschanel's on that. It's going to be really funny. And then you find out that the ensemble that they put together to surround the famous person who kind of leads that show is funnier than the person, than the front person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's Andy Samberg, who's very funny on the show. Don't get me wrong, but the ensemble cast that they put around him is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, well, it's like any good show. I think, like even Seinfeld, you could argue. Sure, Jerry's funny, but Seinfeld's nothing without Elaine, George, and Kramer. Like you got to have
Kramer,
those, or
for
else
sure.
Forget it. All right, well, we've all learned a lesson today. If you're going to make a TV show, good ensemble cast. That's what matters. Think about it that way.
There you go. It's a secret. No other marketing or a TV executive has figured that out, that when you're making a comedy, may have a good ensemble.
That's it. And we've just
good people on your show.
Yeah, we've cracked new ground today. Listen up, Hollywood. We know what's up. Daryl?
Yeah.
What?
You now tell us your answer. What do you think here? Deliberate, please.
Oh, what do I think? The Vengeance Factor. That sounds like season 7 to me.
It's a terrible name, too.
Oh, let's see.
It could be season 1, you know. Because it sounds...
Well, then it would be... Well, I don't know. It'd be some toilet-related thing.
What? It would be a toilet-related thing?
Yeah, if it was season 1.
Oh, all right. I don't get it.
The Vengeance... I don't get it either.
I don't either. All right. We're not meant to get what you just said. There's some things in life. We can't understand everything. Some things in life have to remain a mystery. By the way, okay. Can I tell you something I was totally misinformed about? When I grew up and I would hear stories, because I'm making my way through that Ken Burns documentary, right? Mm-hmm. About the Roosevelt one? Yeah. It's fantastic. And I'm to the point now, Teddy has died about an episode ago, and now we're focused pretty much on FDR, and we've hit his whole polio stage and working toward his governorship in New York and then eventually the presidency. So that's where we're at. And I had thought growing up, I swear my parents and my grandparents talked all the time about how FDR, that nobody knew he had polio or that he was crippled, and that he would fake, whenever he would appear in public, he would look like he was standing or moving or doing like normal, but nobody ever knew that he had polio. Like it was this giant mystery. It's absolutely not the case. Everybody knew he had polio. Like he went to great lengths to look as presidential and as stalwart as possible when he was on stage. His braces would be under his trousers. He would have, you know, instead of braces, he learned to use a cane pretty well to kind of hide it. But most of the time he was in a wheelchair for the rest of the time. And I understand that he was always putting a good public face on it, but it was never a hidden thing. In fact, he was hugely open about it. He opened this giant, long before he was even governor of New York, he opened this giant retreat in Atlanta, Georgia, or near Atlanta, where it was like these big hot springs pools, and had everybody come out there who had polio, and people would just come and like do physical therapy there and all this stuff. And he was all big into that and was known for it. And everybody knew. It was like this huge open thing. It was never a hidden thing. But I grew up with my parents and grandparents telling me all these stories about it. None of us even knew. We had no idea. And the only thing I can think of is I was so dumb, I wasn't getting the nuance of he just presented himself so well that you hardly noticed. Maybe that's all they meant. But in my head, I was hearing that this was a big, giant secret. It wasn't a secret at all. Secret.
Yeah. No, I didn't think, I didn't remember it being a secret. But, you know, I guess I didn't know either way. I knew he had polio, but I don't know if it was publicized or not, or if it was just discovered after the fact or released after the fact.
Because in my head, I'm thinking, oh, 30s and 40s, that's when everybody hit everything. Yeah, right? And I just figured that's how it was.
Keep everyone close to the vest.
Yeah, we don't tell anybody. You don't show anything. Like, nobody had sex. Nobody, like, what? We didn't know, you didn't know anything about anybody. And, you know, obviously none of that's true, but I don't know. It's fascinating to me. It always irritates me when I have a set... I mean, this is the human condition. I have a set notion in my head or an idea in my head about something, even a small fact like this, and then find out later, Ken Burns steps up with a giant fish, smacks me in the face, and says, no, you dumbass, it's this whole other way. And I'm going, ah, shit. I hate not knowing.
Well, no, that's great, because then you're learning. What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with learning. All I'm saying is it feels like a thing I should have known in my teens, not in my 40s.
Oh, that's no, I disagree. I don't think that's something that everybody's expected. No, you're being too hard on yourself, Johnson.
All right, next thing I'm going to learn about is what am I going to learn about next that I didn't know? I'm going to learn that Daryl's going to get this question wrong.
Fourth stage of learning. You don't know what you don't know.
I guess so. Fair enough. All right, moving on, Daryl. Moving on, Daryl.
I'm going to learn something here.
Is that is that the name of your biography? Moving on, Daryl. That'd be great.
Moving on, Daryl.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, Vendoria, that's salesmen, the planet of salesmen, I think, because they're vendors.
Oh, I see, Vendorians, got it.
Yeah. Fallocia, what's a fellow, or a fellow? A fellow.
A fellow?
Yeah, it's a planet of fellows. Oh, I thought you were going
to go Fallopian. Yeah, I thought you were going to go, I thought you were going to say phyllo, like the dough, like you make a little phyllo dough. You ever had that? You guys know what phyllo dough is?
Yeah, it's that thin, flaky dough that they use for spanakopita in Greek food, right?
Yeah, doesn't that sound really good right now?
It does.
Phyllo dough.
All food sounds really good right now.
See how
because
it's spelled.
I like to eat.
Oh, it's actually spelled F-I-L-L-O, which sounds like phyllo, but it's pronounced phyllo, and some people spell it with a single L. Anyway, doesn't matter. Go ahead, Daryl. Sorry.
Arkham what?
Arkham. That's it. Acromarians.
Oh, Acromarians.
Yeah.
Acromarians.
Yeah, no R. I keep putting an R in there. It's Acromarians. Acromarians. Acromarians.
Acromarians.
Acromarians. That might be it.
Brian might. I think it's Acromarians.
All right.
And Cerellians.
No, the Cerellians.
Corellian. Well,
it depends on if you make that a soft C or a hard C.
I think Corellians is probably right.
It's a K. Never mind.
It's a hard K or something.
I was thinking Corellian's like, you know what, isn't the Millennium Falcon a Corellian space freighter?
Oh, right. It is. Yeah. The Corellian space freighter. That's why it was sounding so familiar to me.
Ah, we can't have that. But maybe, I'm crossing that out.
Maybe the Mortal Kombat team made it.
With a K E R E, Daryl.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
I'm going to go with the Batman one, I think.
That would be the Akamarians.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. The Batman. Oh, yeah, I see what you're doing. All right, well, let's find out. Is it the Batmans, the Akamarians? Do you have any reason you're basing that on? You just think so? It just feels good?
It just sounds more familiar than the other ones.
All right, well, let's find out. Is it?
Congratulations.
It turns out it is.
You're a winner.
She says his blood is a rare iron-copper composite and is unique only to those people. Here's a clip of them discussing this. Here you go. Crusher talking. There we go.
We found a sample of blood. It's a rare iron-copper composite. Unique to one humanoid species, the Akamarians.
Akamarians? And that would suggest the Gatherers.
It is a likely hypothesis. The nomadic marauders who refer to themselves as Gatherers have raided other outposts in neighboring sectors.
Oh, boring. That's a boring episode right there.
Yeah. They sound like they're about to fall asleep reading their lines.
Mm-hmm. Even Data there didn't sound too into it.
Yeah.
Daryl, good job. You've done it. Monday, that means you're killing it this week so far. One for one, 100%. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Grumpy Cast. And you can buy his phaser on Etsy. Just search for Star Trek Phaser Replica on Etsy and you'll find it. Did you do a tiny.url yet or anything? Tiny.cc?
Well, actually, there is. They give you a built-in one. I didn't know about it, but it's the Trek Nerd.
Etsy.com. Oh, thetreknerd.etsy.com. There you go. I like it. Mm-hmm. Everything's made of wool and fine knitting, right?
Yarn, yeah, exactly. Sewed and knit Data's and
I know
triples.
What's up. I know how it goes over there. All right, Daryl, good. Well, people should go check that out. All right, play a game with us now. What do you call it? What is it?
Okay. Is this a... Oh, let's see. I was going to give credit to somebody that gave me the idea for this, but I didn't write it down, so they know who they are anyway. Star Trek character or recalled IKEA product?
That's awesome.
Meatball.
You know, we're just at IKEA this last weekend, too.
Oh, yeah? How'd it go? What'd you get?
I got, I'll show you what I got. I got this decorative lamp.
Oh, all right. Nice. What's that for? Yeah, just for fun?
You put a little votive candle in there. So, you know, with the cat perch right here. Yeah. I can't be using these open flame candles like I have been.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Because the cat's going to like dip her tail or set it on fire or, you know, really harm herself. So I decided to swap one of those out for this little, what is this? I'll tell you the IKEA name for this. Oh, it doesn't have the IKEA name on the bottom. I was really hoping it would. It's like a Flurblurgen.
Yes, the Flurblurgen. Like everyone needs a Flurblurgen. So wait, do you when you say you had open candles, were they scented or were they just there for light, or what do you do with them?
Just there for light and ambiance.
Okay.
Because right? I like the organic feel of a flickering candle when I'm working. It's very soothing and
I kinda like
relaxing.
That idea. I gotta do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just go to IKEA. Yeah. Get these awesome glass deals,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a bunch of these candles like here. You drop them in there, set the thing on fire, and you're good to go. Bob's your uncle.
Is it expensive, that whole combination there, or no?
It's IKEA. You get the whole thing for about 74 cents.
All right. Fair enough. That's cool. All right. Well, good job, IKEA. Good job, Brian. And now, Daryl. What are you doing? Oh, I rejected IKEA names, or what was the other thing?
No, it's the other way around.
Oh.
It wasn't anything like that. Star Trek character or recalled IKEA product.
Oh, recalled, not rejected. Recalled.
Recall.
I got it. Okay, go.
Okay. Nagra.
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 Is that spelled N-A-G-R-A?
N-O-G-G-R-A.
N-O-G-G, Nagra.
Mm.
I think he's trying to pull up one because it does sound like at Tanagra. You know,
Nagra, Tanagra.
Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
I'm having a memory of a Warcraft thing too, and I don't know why. Oh, really?
That's not going to help us at all.
No. There's somebody in there or a place in Warcraft somewhere called Nagra.
and I can't place it. So it's messing with my mind here a little bit.
It's probably a quest giver in Mulgore or something like
it
that.
It does feel obviously Star Trek, which makes me think it isn't. You know
that,
what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's IKEA because I think it sounds so much like that Darmok and Jelata at Tanagra that he's trying to make us hope that we're going to make that connection.
I'm sorry, we don't do returns on the Nagra. Is that so? That's how the sound is.
The Nagra's been recalled because it can injure small children if they put it on their face,
and we can't be sued. All right, we're going to say we're going to say not Star Trek. We'll say it's a recalled
recalled IKEA.
Yeah.
Item.
I don't know how I feel about this, but yes, that's it.
Okay. I like your logic, but I'm not that smart. It was Worf's family friend.
Oh.
Sons of Moog. Oh,
really? You really might be thinking of Nagra. Maybe I'm thinking the Naga, but maybe, I don't know. Let's see. Let me just do a quick look on WoW Wiki.
Sure.
Oh, no, it's a person. Oh, okay.
Is it Mancrick's wife?
Well, this can't be right because I wouldn't remember this. I don't know why it rang a bell. But Nagra is a general goods vendor found in the Argent Stand in Zuldrak. He's a dude. He's an NPC that sells stuff.
I'd always buy stuff from Nagra. Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, that guy, he's a real friendly face to see.
Grummel cakes and
he's the best.
I like
Brian.
Wine.
Yeah, he's the best.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by Murray.
The Figures Sold Separately podcast. Join Matt, Ken, Renee, and James each week as they discuss the latest in nerd and geek. In our latest episode, we talk with WWE Hall of Famer Adam Edge Copeland live in studio about his career in wrestling and his starring role on Syfy's Haven. Check it out on iTunes, your favorite podcasting app, or at fsspodcast.com.
I like the sound of that, except in the Skype condition you're under right now, everyone's first name came out a little weird, so it sounded like he said N and A and Ames.
God damn it.
Ken, Renee, and James. Don't worry about it, folks.
I wonder what's sapping.
I don't know. It's
sapping
weird.
The bandwidth.
I can't damn tell it. What it is. Could just be the bandwidth itself. I don't know. There's squirrels in them there hills. All right. Too. What are we doing here? We're doing news. Let's do some news. Rosario Dawson. You know her?
Mm-hmm. Hubba hubba. I'd like to know her.
Yeah. Well, she's returning for Daredevil. I see what you mean. She's returning for Daredevil season 2. And more Netflix Marvel shows. Rosario Dawson will return for season 2 and has closed a deal that will allow her to appear in other shows across the Marvel Netflix universe. Company announced Friday. Romantically entangled with Charlie Cox's blind superhero Matt Murdock in the series' first season, Dawson's nurse character Claire Temple helped the hero more than a few times after his brutal battles in Hell's Kitchen. After working with Rosario in the first season, we knew instantly that we had to have her back for our second. Executive producer slash head of Marvel TV Jeff Loeb said in a statement, "That's cool. They gave Jeff that whole job of being in charge of Marvel TV. You know, that's cool."
Oh, he's a good person to put in charge of that too.
Yep.
I mean, he's got, you know, he's not just some executive schmuck that doesn't know comics. Jeff Loeb knows comics.
He virtually is comics. I mean, there are a few people as comic-y as that guy. Claire Temple proved to be a fan favorite in season 1. We can't wait for fans to see all the plans we have for her next. So that's good news. I think she really brought she brought some level of I don't know what to call it. Like, not legitimacy, because that's not the right word, but there's so much crossover with her with other things and her face is so immediately familiar that it did feel like, oh, she's a big deal. Why, she's in a show about Marvel stuff. That's cool.
Got a star. Yeah. Not just the True Blood girl and that guy and the dude from Full Metal Jacket. No, we got some Sin City action here going on.
That's who the other girl's from, was from the True Blood show.
From True Blood, yeah.
She's exactly. The one Deborah that was like, Walt. Yeah, she was like the little innocent one that got bit and then kind of red-haired in that.
Became Bill's protege. Bill's,
I never watched that enough, I guess.
Yeah, it was horrible. It's cool because Claire Temple actually was romantically involved with Luke Cage for a while. So, and Jessica Jones obviously romantically involved with Luke Cage. So, it'll be interesting if we see her in the Jessica Jones thing as like a connection there.
Yeah, down with that. Deborah Ann Wall, there she is, born in 1985.
She's lovely.
She is. She was born the year that Marty McFly went back in time and hung out with his mom in the car, backseat of the car. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm going to find out. Oh, yeah. No, there she is with red hair. I found a photo of her. Yeah, because that's how I remember her from the very brief moments I spent.
True Blood, she was a redhead. Yeah. I wonder what her real hair color is. She's got very light eyebrows, so she's obviously not usually a brunette.
No. I'm not
naturally. Really. I think probably naturally red hair because of her skin color. It's very, very light. So
yeah, she's whiter than me, which says a lot.
She looks like she'd sizzle if you put her out in the sun for a minute.
Oh yeah, for sure. So that's good. That's good news. Here's some more good news. Mm-hmm. Avengers: Age of Ultron dominated with $77 million in its second week in the box office. Yeah, that's right. We got more Marvel news. I'm sorry, that's just out there, man. We can't help it.
More Marvel news, and we might even talk to Steven about Marvel later. Who knows? You never know.
I know there's some DC in his thing, so there's something there. But that made a lot of money in its second week, but it's still lagging behind its original movie in 2012, The Avengers. Age of Nothing, just Avengers.
Age of Nothing.
The Avengers, Age of Nothing. Let's see. It is the second largest second weekend haul in history. Excuse me. So as second weekends go, it's the second largest. That left runner-up Hot Pursuit, the Reese Witherspoon Sofia Vergara comedy, cop comedy, debut with a soft $13.3 million, and the rest of the field in a very different galaxy. While it's now clear that Age of Ultron won't match Avengers at the domestic box office, its total of $312.8 million compared to the first film's $373 million in its two-week haul. Is outpacing it with foreign audiences. So domestically, we are not doing as well with that movie, but internationally, they're killing it. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because the rest of the world doesn't care about nitpicking it the way that we are here. That's what's happening.
By the way, that's Hot Pursuit is the first purchase by Brian and Jury in the draft.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they picked up was that piece of poo.
Yeah, that I told them.
They spent 11 bucks on that.
11 bucks on the 13.3 is not going to cut it, folks. That's bad.
No,
so that's suck bad. It. Suck it, you two. How does all of our, what have we done so far that we maybe are, like, how are we feeling about our stuff?
Just unfriended, but this upcoming weekend is our big weekend. We've got Mad Max Fury Road and Pitch Perfect 2. Two big, big, big films coming out this weekend.
Yeah. I don't like the what's their slogan for Pitch Perfect 2? I really hate it. The pitch is back. Is that it?
Or yeah, that's the one I've seen.
Look out, pitches, or something dumb like that. Hold on. Pitch Perfect 2 slogan. Here we go. It is. Oh, it's. I really don't like it. Where is it? Pitch. Pitch. Pitch slap. Someone used pitch slap. Like all the words, all the bitch words.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Gritz in the chat room says the slogan is pitches ain't shit.
I can't find the poster. Oh, we're back, pitches. That's it. We're back, pitches. Come on. Okay, wait. Never mind. Do really well and make a bunch of money because Brian and I need to win.
Exactly. Yeah. Spend some money. Send your teenage daughters to go see Pitch Perfect 2 while you go see Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. I want to see both. Well, no, I want to see one. I don't want to see the other one. My wife wants to see that Pitch Perfect thing. My wife and daughters are all into it. Not me. Don't care. But Mad Max, go. Totally in. I'm in.
And Tina's not super excited about it, so it's. I might have to. Might have to get the uncle out for that one.
Mm. Yeah, for whatever reason, I have when I married Kim, she wasn't into my genre films at all. I've converted her. She's like all into it now. But she still likes her other crap though, you know? Like it's still ooh, Vampire Diaries has a new series. Whee!
There's going to be a third Sex in the City movie. Blah, blah, blah.
I know she gets real excited about that. So I haven't been able to completely take it out of her, but thankfully she's been a little more willing. And that's true of Tina too, because I know she goes with all the hero stuff and everything.
Totally. She was never a fan of the original Mel Gibson Mad Max film, so I'm trying to convince her that this is something brand new. This is Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, dude what played the Beast in the X-Men films.
Right.
That wasn't Kelsey Grammer.
No, the young one.
Holt, Nick Holt.
Little British kid guy. I like him.
Yeah. Yep. I like and him, I think it's going to be, it just looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait. Is he playing the googly, the goofy version of the guy from the first Mad Max or Road Warrior movies that flies a little helicopter?
The gyrocopter pilot, dude? Yeah. I don't think so, because in the previews, you see him driving a car. He's the guy who's got the, like, the tattooed skull lips.
Oh, right. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I don't think, here's my thinking on this, just based on the previews. I don't think this is going to be a character for character remake of Mad Max. I think this is a relatively new storyline. You still got your post-apocalyptic future where gas is gold and that's it. It's like, you know, every man for himself in a situation out there. I'm really happy that I know very little about this.
Me too. They haven't shown a lot. Even the trailers are keeping plot points to a minimum, and they're just giving a lot of visuals. Right. And the visuals, I'm already sold. So, yeah, I expect this to be. It's George Miller. It's not like some jackass took the series away from George Miller and is doing their own thing with it. This is the guy who made it. This is his baby. So all these years later, let's see if he still has it. You know, we could be George Lucas or we could be amazed. I don't know yet.
Exactly. Oh, you know, I thought they were tattooed. I thought his lips were tattooed. They're just very chapped. Yeah, you see chapstick rarer than gas in the future.
Yeah, very clearly, right? They're all fighting over it. Just
Carmex! Carmex, quick, get the Carmex!
Just walk away. Just walk away. Nicholas Hoult says he lied. He says he lied to get the role, by the way. This is crazy. He says, the bride, let's see, Nicholas Hoult has admitted to lying to land the role on the new Mad Max movie, according to New Magazine. During his audition, Hoult was instructed to tell a story. He couldn't think of anything, so he borrowed a true-to-life wedding disaster story he'd heard from his friend and a fellow actor, Liam Cunningham. The story goes a little something like this. The bride got grease on her skirt and then got petrol filtered out of the tank to get this grease off and then poured it down the toilet. She was fine. She went down the aisle, but then lit his pipe, set the toilet on fire, blew the guy off the toilet. That's the story, but it wasn't his. He lied. But he got the role anyway.
But that got him the job. That got him the...
Yep.
Good for you, kid, from About a Boy.
Yeah, way to go.
Nicely done.
Good job, young man who was in Skins in the British version and was a total dick in that show. Good job. All right. What else we have here? The NSA has named one of its top secret programs Skynet. That makes a lot of sense to do that. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
We'll wait for some other thing to happen to kind of derail that prophecy.
Exactly. Unlike the Terminator version, which is a computer system that went rogue and attempted to annihilate humanity, the NSA Skynet uses metadata to try and identify people with terrorist connections. Specifically, in one recorded case, the program tracked the movements of people from Pakistan with cell phone records and raised a flag when these activities appeared to match the movements of suspected Al-Qaeda couriers. By sniffing out couriers, the hope was to catch dangerous Al-Qaeda leaders, but they have nicknamed it Skynet. I don't think you ought to do that. Popular culture tells us that Skynet's a bad thing. Bad baby show. And then TV's Florence Henderson in the news. You know, it's
Mama Brady.
It's been a while. She begged.
She's got Wessonality, that one.
Does she? Oh, that's right. She had Wesson commercials. Brian, we're going to find one. We're going to find one right now. Wesson.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Oil commercial. Florence Henderson. Here you go. Found one. 1984. Perfect. That's prime time for her. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's barely coming out of one ear. So we're going to go find another one. How about this one from 1980? Here we go. 80.
Florence Henderson exposes the French connection.
The French connection? French fries and Wesson oil. What's the connection? Wesson is the secret of great-tasting French fries. Crisp and delicate outside, moist inside.
Destroys your guts in 3 days or less. Thanks, Florence Henderson. We appreciate it. Anyway, she's in the news again. It's just come out.
Okay.
She said Friday. I thought she was dead, but no. She's
She's alive. Yeah. Very much alive. It's Robert Reed who died.
Is she doing things that we should know about? Like, is she... she's 81.
Although I'm guessing she's in line for a job on The View.
Yeah.
She's shortlisted. Doesn't she seem like she'd fit perfectly as a host on The View or The Talk or one of those shows?
Yeah, it looks like if you took all the View ladies and mushed them into one composite human being and be Florence Henderson.
Make Florence Henderson?
Yeah. She says she begged the Brady Bunch to give her character a job. Brady Bunch star Florence Henderson on Friday said she begged showrunners to portray Carol Brady as a working mother rather than the stay-at-home mom they portrayed. She says, I begged for a job for Carol because I've been a working mother. I have four children. They said, no, you can't. Alice is taking care of the children. I go, ugh. Well, then give me a job, the actress and cooking show told HuffPo. So when we started having the reunions, I said, I will not come back unless you give Carol a freaking job. So you know what they made me? Screw them, a real estate agent. Henderson's Brady Bunch demands coincided with the big push in the 1960s and 70s when women aimed to dispel the idea that they could either pursue a career or raise a family, but never both. I was working way before my children, Henderson said. I worked through four pregnancies. Yeah, but you worked through four pregnancies. I agree with her 100%. Like, damn with it, man. Don't try to pigeonhole women in any hole any more than you should pigeonhole anybody in any hole. I get that. Totally with you there. But your syndication money from the Brady Bunch put you through four pregnancies. I'm just saying. It's not the same as going out and working every day, sweating a job out at a gas station cashier and having four kids
at
home.
She don't think she had those kids before the Brady Bunch?
It says here, I don't know. It doesn't say when she had them.
Because that could be, because that would have been like between the show and the reunions. Right.
And it's not, and I'm not even saying that somebody shouldn't be able to do that. Like what I just suggested, the gas station thing and then raise your kids and figure it out. I'm just saying sometimes when Hollywood people get all high and mighty about how they did it, like, oh, I was a working mother. Yeah, you're on TV. And you worked what, like 3 months a year? Shut up.
Oh, here we go. She was married to Ira Bernstein.
Yeah.
Ira Bernstein.
Oy vey.
From 1956 to 1985. She had four children with him. So between 1956 and 1985, she had four children.
Well, let's see where she started working. She started working. Her first job was 1954 for General Foods 25th anniversary show. A salute to Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Really?
Yep. Then she was in the U.S. Nice. Steel Hour from 1957 to 1958. Little Women, the movie, Tonight Show on Jack Parr, Oldsmobile Musical Theater. So she's been, yes, look at her working. She's working. Mm-hmm. She worked the whole time. And I'm not saying it's. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying to say to your to compare your big fat Hollywood money to a really really hard job as both mother and wage earner is not. It's not a fair comparison. That's all I'm saying. Right. You know, if somebody wants to write in and go, well, I knew Florence Henderson and she used to scrub floors on the weekends. Okay, well, fine. Then let me know. If I'm wrong about her, then fine. But I just get a little nitpicky when, like, you know, J-Lo wants to get up in front of a microphone and go, let me tell you, women today and the trouble.
My rough life. Let me tell you about my my rough life.
Yeah, I want to hear from Block. I want to hear from real mothers, real women, real strong people, not those people.
Right.
All right.
And what did she do? What did Carol Brady do? They had a housekeeper. They had Alice.
Alice. Know, yeah.
She did everything. What did Carol Brady do?
You know, the whole thing's falling apart in my head now. What did she do? She just did a lot of judging, and
she just sat there on the couch waiting for the kids to come home.
Yeah, Peter would come home, and she'd go, and Peter would go, Mom, I touched my wiener in gym today. Well, now, Peter.
It's the sad. Keep going. It's the sad Brady Bunch music.
Listen, Peter. All of us touch our wiener sometimes. You just can't do it in class. That's right, Peter. As your father, I can tell you your wiener is your private wiener. No one else should see your wiener. Oh my gosh. I am in the mood for the Brady Bunch now.
I wonder if that's streaming. I'm sure it's got to be. If it's not, then it's on that that channel you found, that MeTV that's rerunning everything from the 70s.
Yeah. Free Rangers doesn't like it when I rant on the show. Sorry, Free Rangers. It's just how I feel.
Really?
Well, he's saying.
Free Rangers.
Well, I can't tell I can't tell what his tone is. He's like, Scott's ranting again, or it could be Scott's ranting again. I don't know which way to take it.
Yeah, I think people tune in for that.
Free Rangers, give us an emoticon. Something. I need to know. Another Jay Martin says, pull it together, Johnson. All right, I'm together. It's pulled. Let's let's now. Did they only have one bathroom on the Brady
That's
Bunch?
That's what Fenfrog number one says. Yeah, only one bathroom in the Brady Bunch. Boy, real good architecture there, Mike Brady.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
Wasn't the thing that he designed the house they lived in?
Yeah, he was. It's like, I've made the wood paneling exactly right, and I've made an orange kitchen, but I only thought of one bathroom with seven kids. Great.
I've got one heck of a den. There might have been a master bath off of the Mike and Carol Brady bedroom.
There might have been, but I think it's funny that they all had to share and fight over that one.
Dad! Oh, yeah, that's right, because it was a joining bathroom, right? It was like it connected their two rooms, and they'd be in there fighting. Yeah,
Peter dropped a deuce and it smells. Now Jan.
Greg had Chipotle.
All right. That's it for the news. Our show today is brought to you by tweakedaudio.com, the excellent place to go pick up some fine audio earbuds and accessories. We love these guys. They always take really, really good care of us and you. Recommend them highly. If you want to have great sound with your music and your talk, your audiobooks, whatever it is you might be putting into your ears that day, they've got you taken care of. Engineered for durability always, and a lifetime warranty on everything they sell. That means they'll back it up. You have any problems? They got you. They have you. Stream at checkout for 33% off. That's a third off the price at tweakedaudio.com. That's stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, at checkout for 33% off. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven, Veronica, some emails, you know, the usual. Brian, you got music for us?
I do, and I'm going to reboot while we listen to the music, but let me tell you who requested this music. All right. Greetings, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, DC reference. On the date I'm requesting this, it will only be 3 short days until I marry the love of my life. Listening to TMS, Coverville, and other Frog Pants and family shows is at least partially responsible for me not completely going crazy with stress. One of the songs we plan to play at the reception is the acoustic version of Everlong from the Foo Fighters album. I'd love to request a cover of that song, preferably one that keeps the slower pace of the acoustic version, but I'm sure I'll enjoy whatever you decide on. Bestow the Van Gogh, though. Signed, Josh. Well, Josh also put in the notes the specific one that he wants to hear. So this is Everlong, originally by the Foo Fighters. It's covered by Scala and Kolochny Brothers. They are, if you're not familiar with them, they are the group that put together the cover of Creep that aired during the Social Network.
Oh, that's really good.
Trailer.
Yeah.
That great dark Creep cover. Mm-hmm. Radiohead's Creep. This is them again. It's their cover of Everlong. Came out on their 2011 self-titled album, and it's a cover of the Foo Fighters.
Out of the red and out of her head, she said, Picking up the creamy middle like she did when she was little. It's hard to hide the kid inside when you're crunching O-R-E-O.
Her tissues have regenerated.
I sure hope Scott Fletcher reads my tweet. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, but we're going to pause because Brian's still not back. So hold on, everybody. Maybe the problem solved. All right, Brian's back.
Perfect timing.
Am I recording again?
Yeah. My phone was ending. I was listening.
Yeah, it was a good timing. I would say this about you. In fact, if you were a girl, this would be a perfect clip.
Her tissues have regenerated.
There you go. That guy was the best thing about that movie, period.
He was, yes.
And that is to say a lot, because
he's horrible. Terrible. And that was the best thing.
Real bad. All right, well, we'll plow forward as we do here on the show. We're going to add one Steven Schleicher to the program.
Okay.
See what he has to say.
All about it.
Probably some more comic book news in there. Look, I can't. It's the world we live in. You can't avoid it. Marvel, DC, all this stuff is on the minds of the people. And the people have spoken, and that's what we're talking about. So just live with it. Join us on the line with us, won't you? With Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey,
good
man.
Good morning.
Steven Schleicher hailing from majorspoilers.com. Also, we sent you some storms. Did you get those? Did you get our nice storms we sent you here?
We had some wind over the weekend, a little bit of rain, but nothing too serious.
I think you Texas. Didn't get the snow that we had.
No. I was looking at the radar yesterday. I was like, am I seeing correctly? Is Wyoming and Colorado getting snow?
Yeah, you guys got some snow. We had just torrential rain, and we had some real flooding issues for a while there. And then most of it got sent to you guys in the form of snow, and then got sent to Texas in the form of horrible flooding. Like, people are driving down like 3 feet of water all day. So I don't know what to think of this weather. It's super weird for this time of year, but there you go. It's a climate change, everybody.
Springtime.
Pick a side and fight it out. Steven, so good to have you here. Always good to have you on the show on Mondays, Major Spoiler Zone. You come on here and we talk about pop culture, comic books, movies, other cool stuff happening. Tell me about, I was super excited about a Constantine series, and I guess it had already started happening, but is now canceled. And I never saw an episode, so I don't know how it went.
It was okay. I mean, I watched a couple of episodes early on, then I just kind of lost track of it. It was always on the border of falling off of NBC's second season. And this past week, Thursday, Friday, all the networks came out with their lineup of shows that they were canceling, renewing, or giving series commitments to as pilot season wrapped up. And NBC's Constantine fell off the radar and is not being renewed, even though there was a lot of fan support for the hashtag Save Constantine on Twitter. Just not enough right now. And so I know that there are some people who are upset. Daniel Cerone, I don't know how you say his last name. He is the executive producer of the show, and he says, hey, don't worry. Remember, this is a Warner Brothers production. NBC had just, you know, picked it up. We're still shopping this around. And as of this morning, it looks like CW Network is trending as a possible network to pick this up on, which makes sense. I mean, they've already got The Flash. They've already got Arrow. They've got a couple of other shows coming up that we'll talk about. So adding Constantine onto the lineup is not going to be that big of a difference. The only problem might be that it goes into that supernatural vein, like the Vampire Diaries or the what's the other one with the Grim Fairy Tales? Is that the one that's on
Supernatural? CW? Is the one
Supernatural.
I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Supernatural. Yeah. That thing has lasted forever, man.
11 years, man.
Oh wow, has it been that long?
Yeah, crazy. It's crazy.
Isn't
yeah,
that crazy. That is long. That is a long ass series of any sort. Like
it is,
and they still have incredible popularity and. Mm-hmm. You could argue, or I would be willing to bet big money that show wouldn't have lasted two seasons on any other network. So for whatever reason, it seems like CW is a kind of a place for this kind of content.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Why not?
There's also talk that it may still show up on the Sci-Fi Network, which is doing the Krypton show. So we'll still see. But doesn't look like it's coming back for a second season.
Here's my prediction. So did you guys see the Sense8 trailer for Netflix?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Here's what I think is going to happen. Brian, if you haven't seen that, totally see it.
Totally weird.
Sense8?
Sense8. It's got, the first thing you'll notice is it's got Saeed from Lost in it.
But basically, there are eight people around the world that can all kind of share the same consciousness. Oh, and
yeah, Josh was telling me about this this weekend.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool. The Wachowskis have something to do with it. I think they're just producing or paying or something. It looks pretty neat. And my reason for bringing that up is it feels more and more like Netflix is going to be the new... It's going to be the channel we all wanted with sci-fi. It's going to be the place where you get a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And along with lots of other kind of content, but I definitely feel like there's going to be a real uptick in genre material. Mm-hmm. And anymore, it's going to be hard to find it anyplace else than there or places like it. And, you know, I don't think mainstream television is ever going to be our place to go. It's not going to be like the 70s where Battlestar Galactica can happen or even the early 2000s where BSG can be rebooted on a cable network and thrive and survive. I feel like we're heading toward a time where the genre fiction in the form of television and miniseries and that sort of stuff are just going to do best on streaming services. Do you think that's true, Stephen? Or am I up in the night?
Oh, I totally think that Netflix could be the way to do it. The biggest mm-hmm. question that a lot of people have every time I bring it up is how is Netflix going to monetize this stuff? Because they've got, you know, right now a finite amount of subscribers. And their money is only going to go so far with the licensing of Marvel television shows with original content and with what they're paying for the movies. They're really no different than an HBO or Showtime at this point, but they may become a little bit more selective of those kinds of shows in the future.
Well, I wonder if that's a really good point because you can raise subscription prices, but you can't do mm-hmm. crazy amounts. You know, you can maybe a dollar every couple of years or something. But you're right that they've kind of capped themselves. It's not like they can get more because they have more. Mm-hmm. They can keep adding new content, but they're still just going to get the same subscribers. They may get new subscribers. I'm sure that's a big push as well.
That is the big push. And Daredevil did see a slight jump in new subscribers as well as it being the most downloaded and viewed show of the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. When it was released within the first 7 days or 13 days of release, it was the largest downloaded show that they've had. In a first season. Now, House of Cards is the one that's been downloaded the most, though, from Netflix. So
I read over the weekend that there may be underway right now a very heavy bidding war for The Simpsons' entire catalog, which is 20 years.
I thought that's what the whole FFX network was about.
They appear to be, but the streaming rights is still an issue, right?
Well, Seinfeld just went for, 140-something... $1 billion.
Exactly.
Hulu paid a lot of money for them, and then, you know, Friends went for about $1 million per episode for Netflix. So if that's true, though, I don't know that they could get $1 million per episode of a Simpsons episode. They're half an hour long, which is, I know those other shows are too, but it's also 20 years. There has mm-hmm. to be a quantity break. You know, you got to give them a deal of some sort. But it makes sense to me that Netflix might be in the lead on that and have skipped over something like Seinfeld in favor of it, because you're talking about a huge catalog. It goes nicely with other stuff they've already secured on there, including Futurama. And, you know, they have continuing rights to get Bob's Burgers and everything else in there when it goes into the next seasons and stuff. So to me, it seems like they may be more interested in animation than we think at Netflix, both new and old. So we'll have to see. Okay, real quick here, I got to clear something up. Constantine or Constantine is always a question, right?
Depends. On the TV show, they say it one way. In the comics, there was a bit in, was it Morrison's Run, where he actually pronounces it Constantine.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's try.
Ra's al Ghul versus Ra's al Ghul. Mm-hmm. Even on Arrow, they say it both ways.
Oh, but at least in Arrow, they explain why it's said both ways.
Well, let's hear what it says. That's right. Let's hear how it says on YouTube. Okay. We got one of these things where it tells you how to pronounce it. So let's find out. Here we go. Constantine Tine. MSAing.com is where this is from.
Constantine.
Oh, teen, it says.
Constantine.
Come on, see so if
let's
it does
they must say it from now on.
Constantine.
Yeah, that's how you have to say it, is Constantine.
Constantine.
NBC today announced they will be canceling Constantine. All right, tell me about also over there at the CW.
This is the one that I think's got a lot of people's attention. For the last couple of months, they've been talking about characters from the Arrow and Flash series having their own spinoff series. Mm-hmm. We do know that it's going to star... Victor Garber, who's one half of Firestorm. It's got Brandon Routh, who is Adam. Arthur Darvill, who most people know from Doctor Who, will be playing Time Traveler Rip Hunter. Katie Lotz from Arrow, who was Black Canary, is coming back. That's a big question on how she's coming how? Back. Yeah.
I think it'll have to do with the way that that thing that we had during Flash.
There's only there's two things that can happen: time travel or Lazarus Pit. Those are the only two ways that it can happen.
Oh right, forgot about, how could I forget about the Lazarus Pit when we just had that? Right.
Yep, we've got what's her name, Sierra Renee, will be playing Hawkgirl, and then a couple of other characters in there as well, and then some Flash characters, Captain Cold and Heatwave will be joining the cast, and they're all coming together. And the title of this series is DC Legends of Tomorrow, where Rip Hunter has to prevent some future event from happening. So he travels through time to gather up some of the greatest heroes and villains to fight something in the future.
Wow.
CW has already given this a series commitment, which is cool. We usually it'll go into a pilot and then that spins out into the series. They've already given the full season commitment to it. And rumor is that we will see these characters appear on the season finale of The Flash.
Wow.
Which is just like 2 weeks away.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We've got... I think 1 week, right? Isn't
I think isn't it the 19th? Oh yeah, so that would be next week. So it's this week and next week. Yeah,
right.
So
exactly.
It's funny. TV is such an interesting battleground for these two giant comic companies, and it's fun to watch DC actually have a little dominance in this fight.
Yeah,
and, as opposed to the cinematic side, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's true.
Supergirl also getting full season commitment.
Over at CBS, they've gone ahead and said, yep, we're giving this a full season regardless. And so look for that. And again, CW and CBS are also all Warner Brothers property. So, and also the Supergirl is done by Berlanti Productions, or at least one of the spinoffs of Berlanti Productions. So it's all kind of the same house. So I'm still hoping that at some point that for those of you that saw the last episode of Gotham, that tunnel leads to one of the other networks.
Mm, yeah, it could be. I've not seen Gotham, not even once.
That's okay. Mm.
I haven't seen The Flash yet either. What is it with
me? I don't know. I think Gotham is really good too. I think there was a little lull about a third of the way into the Gotham season, but boy, has it picked up.
The first third.
Yeah. It's just so tired of Penguin.
The final three episodes where it's one giant arc about finding a serial killer is really good on Gotham.
Oh, it's been great.
Does the penguin go, wee?
Not yet, but he will.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You think he will? Great.
And I'm loving, you know what? I'm loving what they're doing with the Riddler. Really loving his
character. That
was
the other one that was a great evolution of the descent into villainhood or villainry.
I just still wish it was Gotham Central. I wish that's what that show was. And I know I'm not going to get that.
Like I said, the last three episodes of the season felt more like a GCPD story than anything else.
All right, because that is still, and you recommended it. I had never read it until you told me, and I freaking loved that. Every second of that I loved. All right, well, there you go. Always cool stuff happening at Major Spoilers, including this and other stories. Anything else happening this week?
No, I don't. I've got some other things that I've got to go do today, but we'll
go
see.
Ahead to the tunnel.
What is that? What was in your hand there? I missed it.
Spray paint.
Oh, you're gonna go down to the third. Go to the third tunnel like a man, will you?
Okay, yeah, third tunnel. That's the way to go. Yeah,
all right, because if you don't, you're a sucker. All right, it's Steven Schleicher, MajorSpoilers.com, and Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, have a good one.
You too, guys.
Talk to you later. All righty. Lovely time with Steven. Let's see if we can duplicate that with one Veronica Belmont.
Okay.
See if she's in the same ballpark. Hold on, where's my thing? There we go. Hey, Scott, keep it together, buddy. Veronica Ann Belmont, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Did you know I knew your real middle name? Did you know that?
Well, it's on my Wikipedia page. So I assume you've done your research.
It also says you're the destroyer of worlds. So I don't know if I'd put all that credence into what it says on Wikipedia.
Does it say that?
No, it should. No. I want it to though.
It should.
Oh my
gosh.
Huge
disappointment.
It'd be very easy to make it say that.
Anybody want to?
Let's not get that ball rolling. All right. That's a bad idea.
You know what this crowd can do.
Veronica Ann Belmont is a new media personality. The destroyer of worlds.
Still one of my favorite things.
Somebody go put some random change on Richard Cheese's page. Please.
Do that. Oh, 2008. Never forget. All right, Veronica. It's good to have you on. V comes on Mondays. We talk about video games and the world therein. What's happening this week? What's going on?
I wanted to talk to you guys about Heroes of the Storm.
Yes!
Oh, Wow.
Not a problem.
I'll just sit this one out.
No, no.
Scott, go ahead.
I love this game like I haven't loved a game in so many years. It is my favorite thing right now, so I'm stoked that whatever you're going to tell me, you're going to tell me. So go ahead.
I started playing this weekend, and I thought it was really fun, and I don't really know how to play, though. I mean, I kind of know how to play, but I don't really understand. Am I supposed to be buying things?
No.
Like, what's the deal?
You don't
What should I know?
All right.
You're supposed to pick up the Founders Pack, though, right? That's a
should
thing.
I get the Founders Pack? That expensive.
I think you should. My opinion is the Founders Pack is a good, strong collection of what the core of the game is, and is a smart thing to do. It's funny because at first you're like, well, I don't know what I should buy or how I should do it. And I went through the same thing, this exact same thing. But there is a point in that game's progression where something clicks and it's very tangible. Like you'll be playing along, you'll be doing your thing, and you'll go, oh, that's why this is awesome. And now I want to spend money, or I want to never not play this. Like it's just, it's a visceral, okay. It's a visceral moment. It's very hard to explain. I haven't felt this way about a game and that kind of moment, that click moment, in a very long time. And I would argue that probably all the MOBAs have their click moments, but this one happens sooner and is, in my opinion, way more rewarding. Both League and Dota 2 and other games like that tend to just leave me very dry and bored, and toxic communities and all that stuff combined. Just I don't like those games. It just they don't do it for me. So I was actually very skeptical with Heroes. I was like, yeah, I love the world, I love the characters, I love all the stuff, and I love Blizzard, but can they really turn a genre that's bugged me so bad into something I care about? And boy, howdy, have they! Like I cannot stop playing.
I know,
game.
Even just in the little trial games or the lessons, I was like, I'm having fun. I am.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, can you think of any other game like that, free to play game, where just the tutorial, you're like, oh my god, I'm so hooked on this, and I'm so bad at it, but I love it.
Yeah,
well, that's another thing. So I really wanted to play Hearthstone, and I was bad at it, but I kept trying to play and I never got better.
Yeah.
And then this one, I actually feel like I could get better at this. Oh. Like I feel like I you know, sometimes you start playing a game, especially like, you know, a Battlefield game or something where you're playing against other human beings and you're like, why would I even bother? I'm never going to get good enough at this. I'm never going to be able to beat anybody. Mm-hmm. This, I have that little inkling of hope that maybe I could be okay at this game and like the general population.
That is a very good point. And it's one of the things I think they were trying to do, and I think they've achieved it. So for you to feel that way, for me to feel that way, and I'm the same, by the way, with Hearthstone. I'm terrible, and I want to love it and play it constantly, but I'm just bad. So I don't. But here's a game where I actually...
Me neither.
This is a game where I actually compete. Like last night, we had a 5-on-5 after raid, and our team dominated. This isn't me being cocky. It's me being surprised at how high my score is, how well I'm performing, how natural it feels. And once you find a character that you just gel with, and I've found many, but you'll find one, you'll go, oh yeah, this is my jam. And when you get into games, even ones you're losing, you realize you still had freaking fun at the end of it. Like there was still fun to be had. There was progression. There was gold. There was XP. There was reasons to go spend that gold on other characters. And expand your arsenal, learn new ways of playing with different builds online, messing around with heroesfire.com and finding out what the best build is for the character you like. It's just, if I sound excited, it's because it's a can of worms for me.
Because it's fun, and I love the you know, being able to play our favorite characters from all these games is just really fun.
Yeah.
And seeing how they do things differently, and like you said, seeing who you gel with. Like I'm really gelling with Raynor right now, but maybe that's because kind of what you start out with.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really like playing as Sylvanas, so you know, it's figuring out what kind of gamer you are and what kind of skills you like. And there were some certain like abilities where I'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I totally understand how to use this, and other ones where I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I think I need more practice at this one.
Yeah, and they have some that are more difficult. You know, you play the Lost Vikings, you're literally controlling three different units at once, which is definitely a different kind of style. If you play Abathur from StarCraft's universe, he essentially just kind of skulks he hides in the weeds and does things from clear across the map, and it looks like he's just standing there, but he has all these weird things that he's doing to help me while I'm out there fighting, to help you, to heal people, protect people, like a very, very weird way to play. And then you have all these other characters in between that are a mix of melee and range and healing and support. And at the end of the day, it's one of the only games that I played maybe since my early Quake days, where I was being very competitive with gaming, where I was really enjoying the mix of competitiveness, but also just this 20-minute window, 20 to 30-minute games are usually what you're playing. there's this progression. You're going from level 0 to level 20-ish. And even though it's kind of the same progression every time, you're mixing it up by changing talents occasionally, or you know, you're with a team who is just really good and you're coordinating really well, and the map you're on is really interesting. And I don't know what it is. There's some magic cheese getting cooked in that oven over there right now with that game. And I'm way into it. We got to get some tournaments going. I cannot freaking wait to play it.
I know. You guys got to play with me. I've been playing just by the computer, just against the computer.
I would
so
love
far.
To play with you.
I haven't played against any actual
I did my first cooperative game last week, last Thursday after Raid. And it's a whole different world once you do that. If I wasn't hooked before, that was the thing that really got its hooks into me. Yeah. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much Frog Panty games going on now that there's never not somebody online to play with. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of ringers out there. If you get them on your team, you'll win every time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a guy named.
I wonder who those could be.
Well, there's a dude named Gorath who is amazing, and he's just a member of the community, and he's a super humble, nice guy. But my gosh, he just dominates the play field but never makes you feel like he's better than you. He's, you know, the perfect teammate. You know, then you've got guys like Garrett Weinzerl, who runs the Into the Nexus show. Him and Kyle are really, really good. Dills is great. I feel like I'm really good for once. So it's really fun. We have to get more games going. I'm really glad you brought that game up because I'm
good.
All in. Did you watch any of the Heroes of the Dorm stuff? Did you catch any of that? The esports business. Oh, so much fun. That was the other thing.
Check that out.
That was an important moment because it was the first nationally broadcast on cable television esports event ever, which surprised me. I thought there was other stuff. I figured League or Dota or somebody else had done something, but Blizzard was the first, and it was dorms from various schools. In fact, Boston College. You didn't go to Boston College, did you? Where'd you go?
I went to Emerson.
Emerson, that's right. Boston College had a really, really good showing. In fact, they got all the way to the finals, and they did it like kind of like NCAA kind of playoffs kind of stuff, mm-hmm. where these groups of students are all playing for full ride tuition for their college careers.
Wow.
And it was intense. Like, I have not seen more intense competition on TV of any kind in years like that. And just absolute joy to watch that game get played.
Yeah,
so.
that's I didn't pay a lot of attention to it because I'm not very knowledgeable about esports. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I don't understand what's happening. It's cool, whatever. That's exciting. And it looked like, you know, who was over there? It was there were a few people I know that were covering it, and they seemed to be having a blast.
Yeah, Day 9 was doing it. Michelle Morrow did the stage stuff. They had I can't remember the other guys. A couple other big esports dudes, but they did what they do, which is cover a video game, which you've seen. There's plenty of that on Twitch. But what made this different was just the raw excitement of craziest moves, weirdest finishes, amazing comebacks, like all the stuff you want in competitive anything was mm-hmm. just so thick and rich. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a sign of things to come for that game and also the industry as a whole. And I think Blizzard, while they took a lot of heat in the beginning to say, oh, another MOBA from Blizzard, great, come on in, it's too late now, I feel like they actually may have something special enough to really disrupt that
right
genre.
Well, we should definitely play sometime.
Yeah,
that'd
anytime.
Be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you text me, I'm in. I will pass up important life duties.
Oh, boy.
To play more. So it's not a problem. Not a problem. All right, it's Veronica Belmont, everybody. You can catch her today on DTNS, of course, and many other things. You have anything else you want to promote today?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the latest chapter in the Follow the Geeks book. Tom was the last chapter. They've been covering a lot of interesting. Well, I don't want to call myself interesting, but they were very nice to also cover me in their collection of stories about people who work in the geek industry. So you can check that out at followthegeeksbook.com/chapter-5. And I'll probably tweet it out later as well. But it's kind of like my life story so far. And it was really interesting for me to read because they interviewed other people about me mm-hmm. that in my life, like, you know, Ryan and Tom and my first boss, Mark Larkin, and a bunch of people. And so it was kind of strange. And it was interesting to see my life told from other people's perspective.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're interested in kind of finding out how I got to where I am today. You can check that out at followthegeeksbook.com.
It terrifies me that anyone would ever do that for me. So I can't imagine what that feels like. That's just that's a weird feeling. I don't want it.
It's a weird feeling.
Well, people go check it out. It's available now. And of course, at Veronica on Twitter. Veronica, have a great week and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Let's go play. Let's go play that damn game. Screw this.
Screw. Oh, I don't know about that.
We gotta play, dude. We should get some dailies in today because that's the other thing this game has is dailies. Basically,
it's dailies.
Like,
really?
Yeah, it's like play three games as a StarCraft hero, and then you get like so 500 gold or whatever.
Kind of like what Hearthstone does. Yeah, I just looked on the Battle.net site, and I don't see the Founders Pack available for purchase anymore.
Did they?
Do you buy that?
That
within? Maybe you buy that in game.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's how it is now because that was when it was closed. Beta, right. Now it's open. Wait,
now it's open beta.
Do I have that right? Actually, I may have that wrong. It's in sometime this month they go open beta, and then June full release. So maybe they can only get it in game. But I know it's in the shop. It's still in there.
It's not in the Battle.net or the Battle.net shop, but maybe within the within the in-game shop.
Yeah, it's going to be in the game.
Okay,
it's in the game, as EA would say.
I'm in.
Brian, we're going to do a couple emails, and by the way, you sound completely 100% fixed. Whatever you did with your reboot fixed it.
Cool. Well, I'll just make it a standard morning thing to just reboot before the show. How's that?
The morning thing. I like
the
it.
Morning reboot.
Let's do emails. They're brought to you by somebody.
Do you like low-budget zombie film fun?
Yes.
Do you like to see attractive women kicking the crap out of douchebag guys all while fighting off zombie hordes with the help of a crack secret agent?
Sometimes.
Is $12.99 worth an hour and 24 minutes of your life?
No. I mean, yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then come check out the Come Get Some DVD at comegetsomethefilm.com.
Sean from Northeastern Pennsylvania wrote in, says, Dear Scott and Brian, today I was listening to Stump a Mash Nerd segment where Scott mentioned mixing up a tube of toothpaste with another tube of skin medication, and I couldn't help but flashback to the night my son's mom did something similar. She was getting him changed for bed, and I was in the living room watching TV, just, you know, like a dude would. He's just sitting like a man watching television. Suddenly there was a blood-curdling scream from the other room. She came running in, holding my two-year-old son, who was screaming, and she was hysterical. I finally got out of her that she went to put Desitin. Is that a thing? Desitin.
It's a thing. Like a rash paste, yeah, like a, right.
Rash paste. On
like
his
salve.
On his butt, and mistakenly grabbed, you guessed it, Ben Gay. After an impromptu cool bath, everything was returned to normal. Now, almost 15 years later, my son, and I always get a good laugh when anyone mentions Ben Gay. I mean, he's a 17-year-old kid talking about his Ben Gay bum. Check the label, though. Sean in Northeastern Pennsylvania. Check the label, though.
Oh, yeah, nothing... Let's take that rash and just make it burn even worse, shall we?
That's pretty bad. I have a similar story, but I'm not ready to share it yet. Because at least they can say, he was two. He didn't have any control over it, but
right.
I was a little older.
Oh, God.
It involves some Icy Hot in high school, and that's all I'll say. Wow. Dear Scott, says Brian, I was listening to your most recent episode and felt like commenting on your discussion about Daryl's law enforcement contact. I think he means his run-in with the law when
contact,
he came to the
right,
basement.
The contact he had recently with the law enforcement.
Yeah, and we took some heat on saying that, you know, there's a bigger story and it's not so simple as cops are terrible. There's more to it.
Right, of course.
I've been a long-time listener to the show, but this was the first time I've ever contacted you. By the way, I'm a police officer in Northern California. Ooh, okay, see? Officer Brian
right,
here.
Good, and we get some, here we go. We hear it from the horse's mouth.
The horse's mouth. You seemed a little unsure of how cops handle certain calls. Of course, I don't know all the facts, but in Daryl's story, the cops seem to handle the call appropriately. In cases such as these, those cops will be more likely to enter the residence without knocking for safety reasons. If, for instance, there have been people fighting, the cop would be at a disadvantage if he announced himself, as it would give the people time to hide, run, conceal a weapon, etc. I love the show, but I think you were a little hasty in wanting to file a complaint without knowing all the facts or understanding police procedures. He'll hear in the next episode after that I was way more on the side of let's give the cops a chance to explain themselves. But anyway, I can't speak to Washington, but in California, citizen complaints against law enforcement are taken very seriously. And sometimes will end up getting the officer in trouble or fired, even if he didn't do anything wrong. On a side note, I always play the show when I'm taking people to jail. Just trying to spread the TMS word one Walter Wright at a time. Brian.
Nice. I love that. So, yeah. So they're in the back of the cop car. They're listening to us.
That's amazing.
And
that's amazing.
If there are any criminals right now listening to us in the back of a cop car,
yeah, change your life.
Turn stuff around, buddy. Yeah, come on, man. Would you?
No, yeah, don't live like this. There's a better way. There's a better way. Thanks for that email. That's great. Always happy to hear from law enforcement. All right, we got one phone call to play. And I've lost it. Hold on. Mm. I lost the file.
Here's what it would sound like. Hey, Scott and Brian.
You're not wrong.
On a show. First time caller. Long time listener.
You're not entirely wrong about any of what you've just said. Okay, here it is, actually. This should be okay.
Hey, guys. This is for the morning stream. Calling in because you were talking about the TSA and their policies. And I used to be a TSA agent. And at my time there, when someone came through, if you weren't sure of their gender, you would look at their ID, and if it had an M or an F on it, you would choose who did the screening based on that. So, just my two cents. Thanks for the show.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me when we were given the TSA a real workover the other day that IDs would say male or female.
Right, but you see the person who looks at your boarding pass looks at your ID, but the person who does the pat down, you know, as you're going through the metal detector, your ID doesn't come into play at all.
Right, but they would have to say, can I see your ID, I guess, if there's some unsurety or whatever. Yeah. That's a good point. But then also, let's say it's a transgender individual. Let's say it's a dude transitioning to be a lady, okay? But dude still has what you might refer to as a male penis, okay? Let's say that's...
I think you might refer to it as a male penis.
A man wiener, all right? Right, so you're going through the thing. Who do you want? I don't know that the TSA still has the power to decide who gets to look at you. So if they think you're, we think that's a lady because it says female on the thing, even though he's still transitioning, does that mean the transitioning person wants a man or a woman? What does that person want?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, because you would actually prefer, if you're going to get a pat down, you personally would probably prefer to be patted down by a woman, right?
Yeah, I think I would. Right. I've had both and neither bothered me, but yeah, if I'm getting a choice, I'd probably say have a lady
right.
do it.
And I think, you know, many women, maybe certainly not all women, but many women would probably also prefer to be patted down by another woman as opposed to a man who might get some joy out of it.
Right. We're assuming that what we're saying is
there's a lot of assumptions being made on my part probably here, but still.
Men are pigs. We understand. I kind of agree with you.
Maybe they should just have women do all the pat downs at TSA. Just make it across the board. You will always be patted down by a woman if you come through TSA.
I'm sure there's an example somewhere of some woman who got to do a pat down and went, oh, yeah, now's my chance to feel
right. Oh, sure.
Wiener.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure that exists somewhere in history. But I guarantee you, this is just the truth. That is a lot less likely with the lady than it is with a dude.
Yes, exactly.
It's just the way it is.
Right.
And I don't know why it's that way, but
if
we can acknowledge
like
it.
Chris Hemsworth, if the TSA agent looked like Chris Hemsworth, yeah. I think a lot more women would say, I'll opt for the pat down, please.
Let's ask Justin Robert Young what he would say. Justin?
Yeah.
Okay. Best I can get out of him.
Wow.
Thank you for the call, though, and I appreciate the TSA people writing in and calling in. You guys have had good things to say. That's it. That's the show. If you'd like to commit, you want to submit your own emails or phone calls, you can do it through the following methods. Email us at themorningstream@gmail.com or the phone calls come to us at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0GOB.
You know, personally, I probably would be fine with getting patted down by Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, I'd be all right.
You know,
I'd be okay.
Perfectly fine, perfectly comfortable with my sexuality. But yeah, you know,
lots of dudes have patted me down. I don't have a problem with them patting me down. The problem with it,
swarm.
But the problem is, if somebody starts to do something weird, I'm gonna go, "Hey, easy there, chief," as loud as I can. Right? I'm not gonna just take it.
Buy a guy a drink first, would ya?
Yeah, I'm not going to wonder later. I'm not going to go later going, you know, I think he was kind of fiddling. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say something right then.
Of course.
I'm going to call that guy out and go, yeah, your buddy over here is, you know, checking out Jimmy in ways I'm not comfortable with. See what they say about that. Follow us on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. Support us at patreon.com.
Got a good feel there, Frank?
Yeah. Hey, what do you think there, Frank? frogpants.com/TMS. You can support us at patreon.com/TMS. We appreciate that. Thank you, everybody who does that.
Please do, yes.
We'll be back tomorrow with a whole new show with all the regular people and all the regular stuff. Okay? All right. That's it. Brian, should we get out of here? You got anything else? Have I missed anything?
I got nothing. Well, I have almost nothing else. Okay. I've given all I can give to this show, and once the taping ends, mm-hmm. I have to retreat back to a hyperbaric chamber to recharge my whole body.
Yeah, you will recess and be, and once again,
I've given almost all.
Yeah, you'll once again become Galadriel when you're done. One last thing I would say, I almost forgot. FilmSack was delayed a day due to some scheduling issues with Mother's Day, but we are back tonight, recording it tonight. It'll be out this evening, so about 5, 6 p.m. or something, you'll get the new show. So if you're looking for FilmSack, wondering where it was, worry not. It'll happen tonight, come hell or high water. So there you go. All right, Brian, give me a song. Yes.
Well, Felancio Villasenor emailed in. I hope I pronounced that right. Said, dude, how could you let Cinco de Mayo go past us without any mariachi music? Please, please, please play a badass cover of your choice played by a mariachi band. If you find none of your liking, you can play the mariachi version of the Darius Rucker's Crispy Chicken, Crispy Bacon Cheddar Ranch song.
Wow.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
There you go.
There you go.
They're starting to get the name wrong, some people.
I love that they call it whatever. As long as they get ranch and bacon or cheddar, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
All right. Si se puede, though. Felancio Villasenor.
Oh, oui. Yes. Poo-poo.
So I got a ton of these mariachi band albums. I decided to pull one from the band Mariachil Out, and they did an entire album of Queen covers and stuff like, Who Wants to Live Forever and I Want It All and Crazy Little Thing Called Love. I first was going to do a We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions thing, but that would have been about 6 or 7 minutes altogether. So decided on another one. Here is Mariachil Out with their cover of Queen's Another One Bites the Dust.
Thank you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You...